Hi, I'm Melissa Joy. I'm a Senior Vice President with Village Green Companies.
And Village Green, are you exclusively third party? How large is your portfolio and where are you based?
Yep, we are an exclusive third-party property management firm. We are headquartered in Southfield, Michigan, so it's a suburb of Detroit. I am based in Cincinnati and I oversee what we call our Southeast region. We oversee about 42,000 units as a company. My portfolio is about 11,000 of our 42,000.
So you're pretty big stuff.
I don't like to think of it by
You're
terms
part
of
of
units that we manage.
your company's big stuff, and you play a significant role in that. Okay, fine. So today's topic, I'm going to talk about people, leadership, culture. So I want to start with an interesting thought, and I'm not trying to hog the mic, but I'm curious your thoughts. So I was listening to some management book. I think it was a John Maxwell book, and it was talking about how leadership is everything. And it was talking about this private equity company that would come in and acquire companies that weren't performing well. And then they basically like flip the company. And the first rule is they fire all the leadership. And the point was that if the company's not performing well, it's a leadership issue. And so there's no point in keeping all those people. So one, I guess, what is your thought of that leadership in terms of performance as the team of a team?
So I've heard this saying, there's an adage that goes, a fish stinks from the head. So I happen to think there's probably some truth in that, but I will tell you, my style of leadership and management is to forget about everything I think I know and give people the chance to show you who they are. I pride myself on being very empathetic and very in tune with energy with people in general. So I would probably approach any situation where I would want to have one-on-one conversations and evaluate things to make a decision for myself. I used to be the youngest person in the room in every room I was in because I've been in the business a very long time. And now I'm among the oldest in the room. I'm actually like, okay, I could be your mother. And in every room I'm in, there's multiple people like that. And so I finally feel confident enough in my experience, and in my, wins and losses in this industry that I have a really good knack for evaluating who people are and what their capacity is. So I don't think that, people should just be fired for sake of starting over. There is value in having people who are willing. I know that I've seen people be in situations where the variables aren't what they need to be successful. Like you can't build a house if you don't have all the tools and materials to build a house, right? So at what point is there accountability and at what point is there a matter of resources? So that's my take on it.
Yeah, sorry if I was unclear. I wasn't asking if something's not performing, we just fire people. I was taking that if some there is a performance issue, that comes back to the leadership.
Right. Well, I
So
definitely think leaders have to be actively working. If a leader hasn't identified a problem and have an action in place and a recommendation to make how to overcome that and be actively working toward fixing it, then they are absolutely the problem.
okay. And so another, I guess, leadership management thing that has an impact on me, Jocko Willink, extreme ownership and the dichotomy of leadership. So he has this line in there that there's no bad teams, there's just bad leaders. And so as a leader, if somebody's not performing, then the leader has to identify that and then they have to address it and do what they can to then help that team player, that someone on the team to improve. And then eventually, if they're not improving, then a decision has to be made. Now, I think that there's a challenge where in our industry where there's not a lot of leadership and management training. So it's hard for property managers or regional managers, even leaders at corporate, to identify how to fix a problem, a performance problem, if somebody has one.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that sentiment for sure. I definitely think that as a leader, it's your responsibility to be monitoring, measuring, holding people accountable, and putting plans in place. So when there are performance issues, whether it's an individual performer or property performance, if there is not a very critically thought out action plan in place or recommendations coming, to me at all times, then I certainly think there could be a leadership problem. I want to say that one thing that I find, or I've seen, be an issue is leaders not, and I say leaders maybe being like portfolio level managers, things like that, maybe not having the best outlet to share what the needs are and to make the recommendations. In our business, especially, you know, my company is very different from your company. My company is different from a lot of companies. Being exclusive third party management is very unique because every single client wants things a little bit differently. We do not have a boxed package. You signed up for package A, property management service. You signed up for, you know, package B. We have what our CEO calls a secret sauce. It's the things we have to do no matter what, because it's what makes us Village Green. Beyond that, we're collaborative and we're a great partner. And so if you want some additional service, additional meeting, additional report, we're going to do whatever we can to provide you with the resources you need as an owner to make your business successful. That lends itself to unique little subcultures from property to property and owner to owner. So one thing I've noticed is many owners are very open and we talk to them weekly. And if there's a recommendation to be made, they want to hear it. And then there are other owners that are just like, you know, please don't bother me, just perform. And then like, where's the opportunity to go to them beyond what is approved in a budget annually to get maybe an extra resource that we need to do the next level performance-based thing?
Okay. And then I'm sure that your Village Green standards are unique. I have actually heard about them, and it's a good thing. And I think that it's an area that is missed in this industry. This is such a people-centric business, and as much automation and tech that there is, we're always going to need people. And I think that that is the biggest advantage or competitive advantage that any company can have, that mm-hmm. they have the ability to hire talent, develop talent, and retain that. I think that, you know, you hear a lot about, you know, retention is an issue, not just with residents, but with staff. But then mm-hmm. when you look at the people who have left and you ask yourself, are we upset that they left? Was that a big loss? And then if they're not, then it's not really a retention issue. It's more of a hiring issue or a development issue. Mm-hmm. And so I'm fascinated about the idea of hiring people with no experience. And I'm focused on leasing. You can't hire people with no experience for everything, but, right. And it's not rocket science and being able to teach them and develop them. And I think that the best property managers and the best regional managers are going to be the ones who have multiple skill sets. So if somebody's really good at sales, they might enjoy leasing, but you're not going to make a killing doing that as a long-term thing. If you're really good at sales, like go sell something else. Go work on the supplier side. But I think that if someone who really, this is a great industry and a great career, and the best property managers and regional managers have that, you know, they're almost like a generalist. They're great with people and they're great, you know, they're not the best at one specific thing, but they're really good at many things. Good for them to go through that experience of, it's good for them to go through that experience of leasing, assistant manager, property manager, general manager, regional manager, whatever the process might be.
Well, so I'm a product of that theory, and I couldn't agree more. I kind of got into the business not knowing what it was, having zero kind of experience or education about it, and kept finding opportunities. And when you get someone who is hungry for opportunities and hungry for growth and looking for the next level, you get the top tier performance. So I agree with that wholeheartedly. And again, I'm a product of it. I want to just say, I feel so very fortunate to have started in the industry before technology evolved, because I was never on site when there were manual ledgers, which, you know, is something unfathomable right now, to me, but, I was kind of at the cusp of when property management software came on, and I was on site really before all of this technology and all of the startup companies that really have made our lives more efficient and data driven and things like that. I've loved that I am smack dab in the middle and have both kinds of perspective. Because, you know, what you said about the technology, it is absolutely the cutting edge of our business, and it has made our industry so very sophisticated. And it really gives us the opportunity to measure the performance of our teams in a way that didn't exist, you know, when I first started. I don't know that I knew what a closing ratio was when I was a leasing consultant. It was try to lease every apartment that you could. And I was ready. I was ready to go lease all the apartments. But there was no measure of that, you know, really.
So I'm not anti-tech and automation. I do prefer the human touch and the human element. Mm-hmm. And I do see sometimes that the tech becomes a distraction and there's more attention on the tech and being cutting edge versus really focusing on people. I think that there's a lot of, you could be very successful if without using all the tech, you can't be successful without the people.
So my perspective is, and I'm not the most techie person ever, but my perspective is if a property manager, a leasing consultant, even a service associate aren't spending their time doing manually generated things like reports, et cetera, when we take the distraction of administration away from our teams, they have more time to spend with residents, to spend, for sure, with you know, each other, to give feedback in the moment and to inspect things like walking units and sitting down with your sales consultant to go over how do you overcome objections, those sorts of things. So I feel like it's a necessary balance, but I remember being a property manager feeling like I didn't have the time I wanted to sit down and talk to residents or my staff because all of the reports that were needed because the owners want to know how their properties are doing.
Yeah, for sure. There are definitely things that can free up time and take things off of our plate with technology so that we could actually spend more time doing the important things.
Yep.
If you're in leasing, you know, spending that time with a prospect or a resident, mm-hmm. if you're a manager, spending that time with your team. So yes, agree with that for sure. So I think that the companies that are best at hiring the talent and developing it. So we're actually starting a new project where we're using these personality tests that are on the shorter side. And I don't know if this is just me, but at first, so it's supposed to be specifically for property management. So they come based on the assessment, they make a recommendation and I'm ignoring that. Uh-huh. So we're going to test folks coming in and won't use that at all for our hiring process. But then after some time, we'll go back and say, okay, here are the people we've hired. Let's look at the test results and see if there's common denominators, if there's patterns that we could see. And then at this point, do we then say, this is what, in the initial testing of this, like we started testing it with the team, it was actually eye-opener because the things that they were suggesting were the best hires, or this is what you should be looking. There were some red flags, meaning some of the people who could be great at leasing, there could be more drama. And you almost want like the people who are, I guess, more of a generalist, like they get it done. They don't have mm-hmm. to be extreme in one. They're more balanced, I guess, is the right way to say that. That's the initial thing, but we're testing this out. And I'm excited about that because if you could figure, and also when you have an opening, instead of going through this whole process and phone interviews and then an in-person interview, if you could, everybody who applies, like, here, take this test, and then you're screening through that. Mm-hmm. I think it opens up a whole pool of talent that might have been ignored.
Yeah, I like that. We've done personality assessments and things like that over the years. One of the best ones that I ever did was with our leadership team. You mentioned earlier about how important it is to know yourself. And one of the things that I think is absolutely mandatory for any leader to be effective is that they know what their own personality is and how people might receive you. It was among the most impactful things that I've ever done. There were two things that we did at different annual Village Green retreats for leaders. And that personality test was one. And it's the one where it tells you if you're a driver or an amiable or an empath. And I don't remember what the other one was. It was so very apparent to me where everyone else was going to land, but I was shocked where I landed. And, you know, as I've grown in age and experience and had the opportunity to like survive some really bad situations that I was terrified I wasn't going to survive. And then I, you know, survived and managed through the crises or whatever was going on at any given time. I allowed myself to be more vulnerable and more honest in situations like that where you're talking about yourself. And I really got to know myself. And I'm the contrarian of our group. And I've always been that. I'm very empathetic. And I remember when I was getting promoted to be an area director, I took one of those personality tests and they shared the results with me. And it said I was indecisive. And I'm like, indecisive? Like, what are you talking about? I'm not indecisive. I'm not afraid to make a decision. I got very defensive about it. But then I realized the way I answered the questions is I was trying to trick the test. I was overthinking it. And I was thinking, well, if I say this, they're going to say that about me. And if I say this, they'll say something else about me. And I wanted to kind of like manufacture the perfect response. And so I think those tests are a tool. It did set my, you know, record straight with my own self that I need to stop overthinking things. And then years later, when I took the other test and I acknowledged that I'm an empathetic leader, doesn't mean I can't be tough, doesn't mean there isn't accountability, doesn't mean I will not say exactly what needs to be said in the moment, good, bad, or indifferent. I just choose to do it with empathy. And I choose to do it considering how the people around me will receive the message. And I think that is what has given me the opportunity to elevate at Village Green. And it's what's given me the opportunity to, you know, be part of so many different groups and industry things, because I really genuinely care about what's going on with other people. Of course, I want to be successful. It's why I work very hard. Of course, I understand our sole role as a third-party management company is to make money. It is to produce a result that is translated to a piece of black and white paper called a financial statement. And there is no question about that. But I have realized that the only way to effectively and consistently do that is through the discretionary effort of the people that sign up to show up for you every single day in whatever role that it is. The other thing that the lesson that I learned was about zooming in and zooming out. We did this activity once, and it really, I think for our industry, it's a perfect analogy, because if you zoom in at the most, the closest point that you can get, it's any site that you own or manage, a specific site, a specific person on a site, or a specific unit on a site. And if you zoom out, it becomes, you know, the whole community or the whole team, and then the whole region, and then the whole company, and an individual owner and every single owner. And I love understanding that the perspective that you have about anything, about any person, any scenario is only as good as the angle that you're looking at it from. So I love being wrong. I love learning. I love, you know, understanding things from other perspective, because I realized very early on, I only have mine, and mine's good for what it's worth on any given day.
I was just absorbing everything you're saying. Perspective is such a game changer. Let me give you a scenario. Mm-hmm. Let's say you have a leasing consultant who is coming in, and the property manager thinks that this person is being a little moody, and then they're not cooperating. So they're going to give them constructive feedback. Mm-hmm. Now, everything which, and then the leasing specialist gets annoyed by it, and they feel like they don't appreciate me when I do a good job, and they're only pointing out when something goes wrong. And the perspective that the property manager is missing is that leasing consultant is dealing with a very stressful thing at home, mm-hmm. whether it's with their partner, whether it's with the child, something. So they don't even think that they're coming in and being moody. But if the work-life balance, you're one person and then you have different subjects. So if you're struggling in one area, that is going to show up in all, you're that one person, you're the same person, it's going to show up in other subjects in your life. So when you find out that that person is struggling with something personally, then all of a sudden your perspective changes. Oh, they're not like you. You become empathetic and you care about it. So I think when people start with, if something is off, what's wrong? How can I help? Versus you're doing something wrong, I need to correct it. Yeah. And it's crazy where you're, when you find that out, and this happened a few times where somebody was annoyed at something, and then I was like, did you know that they're dealing with this? And it's like, oh, I had no idea. And they completely shift in how they deal with it. And I'm obsessed with the idea that the better we feel about ourselves, the better we perform. And a lot of people are not feeling great right now. They're struggling with different challenges. They don't even necessarily realize that they don't feel great because they're just trying to get by. Mm-hmm. And when you have two people who are not feeling great about themselves, just focusing on what you see, it just makes everybody feel worse.
There is something so very powerful in being understood and being heard. I have not studied psychology professionally, but I have studied it as an amateur because I'm so fascinated in behavior. And I'm so very convinced that there's genuinely good in most people, in all people. Like I believe that, and I'm sure there's a counter argument somewhere, but I think people show up the best way they know how most of the time. What I aspire to do as a leader, and I feel so very confident that every person on my team would attest to, understanding that we all are just human beings having human experiences. And if we're asking and paying someone to do a job, that does not negate the fact that they're a human being elsewhere, that they're a mother, a son, a daughter, a, you know, something else to someone else. That's yep. rather demanding. You know, work obviously is always important and it's a large part of our day. We spend a lot of time with the people that we work with, but we're just human beings. And I think that when we as human beings feel understood and valued and appreciated, of course, but heard, it lets us be our best self. So with my team, one of the things that I think is the absolute game changer of all game changers for me in my career, Village Green initiated a GO meeting every day, and GO stands for grand opening. And it's really just a touch point. And every leader was challenged to do this with their individual team. The company sends out a message every single day, and it's the GO meeting. So read it, share it with your team, whatever. But then if you're a leader, you are supposed to have one with your direct reports. I've done that with my team since May of 2017, and I can probably count on my hands and toes how many times we've not done it. If I can't host it, someone else hosts it. But it's just a time to get to know each other. Sometimes we talk about things that are business related, what's going on at this property, or what's a new company initiative or a policy or a check-in. But most of the time, it's just, tell me something about yourself. Tell me what, you know, what are you doing this weekend, or what's going on? It's funny, I've had a very dear friend of mine tell me that I was a prolific oversharer. And at first I was like, I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but you know what? I want people to know who I am, because I am just a human being. And while I might have a title that makes me seem like I'm important, I am no more important than anyone else. I've done all the jobs in our industry, done all the jobs in our company that are site level and to my level on an org chart. But I'm just doing the best that I can. I'm showing up the best way that I can. And I have spent many of those GO meetings telling my team, I need you to know that I'm not going to show up for you the same way that I did last week, because something's going on with my son, because something's going on. I'm physically sick. I don't feel good, or I'm not able to be my best self, because we as leaders project our mood, our life on other people, even if we don't mean to, because we are just human beings. And that for me has created this circle of trust, Moshe, where I can go to someone and be like, you're off kilter. What's going on? Do you need a day? Please tell me. And if you don't want to talk about it, that's fine too. But can we just acknowledge you're not showing up the same way you did last week or last month? And we've got a job to do. So let's lean on each other. But it's, you've got to build that trust. The concept is brilliant, but if people don't trust you to do it, it's not going to be fruitful.
Excellent. I don't want to cut you off, but we're about to shut off on time. This was excellent. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.